This is Sten Hansen from the My Thought Coach podcast. Thanks for listening. Today, I want to tell you the secret of having an amazing family gathering. And it's not what you think it is. So listen up. Even if you think they're always amazing, I promise they can get better. There's this word. It's the word should. And this word should can destroy relationships, especially relationships that matter. So if you care about people, I want you to really listen in. Think about this. If you've ever heard yourself say any of these things in your mind during a family gathering, she should know that we don't like that kind of food. They should be more considerate. They shouldn't talk about things they don't know anything about. They should help clean up. They should know that we don't eat meat. They should know that we don't drink milk. Whatever it is, I want you to imagine a world or what could happen in your life if there simply was no should. So there's this thing that some people like to call the manual. And basically, it's a set of instructions that we have for other people in our life about how we would like them to behave so that we can feel good. And the biggest problem with manuals is that the other person has to change or stop doing or start doing something in order for us to feel better. And the problem with the word should is that often we don't realize that should leaves us really powerless. When we think that someone should or not do something, we hand over the power of how we feel to the other person. So if you're in pain right now in your life because of something that someone else has done or hasn't done or said or hasn't said, this manual idea may free you completely from that pain. And so it should be very good and exciting news because it doesn't involve changing any of the people in your life. Only the way that you are thinking about what they're doing. Changing the sentences in your head that keep running over and over will absolutely change the way that you feel. So right now is probably the part where you're ready to stop listening, press pause, completely turn this off because you are probably thinking this is just too simple. And if I really understood the situation, then I would see why your problem is different. And I believe you. Let me tell you why. I want to tell you an example of something that happened to me at a family gathering not too long ago. It's just a few years ago. My sister started telling a story about the two of us to other people that were there about when we were young. And as she was talking, not only were her facts wrong, but she said some things that were the exact opposite of what I remembered about my experience growing up. She said something like, yeah, Sten used to always beat me up when we were younger. And I remember when she said that, I remember that moment. My body had the strongest feeling, this vibration. It was anger and shame and this insane desire to defend myself because my memories were only of her, my older sister, beating the crap out of me and being physically abusive towards me on this occasion. And then, of course, my brain opened up to all the other times that I felt victimized by her. And I felt hot, like I not only needed to defend myself, but also point out how she was always, always the perpetrator, every bad thing. And it triggered way too much for me to handle that I was literally, physically, I felt like I was shaking. And my brain went into a place of feeling hurt. And then that hurt immediately had me projecting hate and frustration and anger onto her. All of those powerless feelings that I had as a child were pulled up inside of me as if no time had passed at all. And there I was seething about the person that I had just an hour before been super excited to see and hang out with. So this is how our brains work, right? They time travel all the time, especially when we're with the people that we grew up with. So if you have any kind of family anything coming up in your life ever, please, please listen, because this could change everything. This time travel thing is important. And if we could really step back, so just imagine me, if I could step back and just analyze the situation of what was happening to me, join with me, let's be like the scientist observing what's happening to me in that moment. First of all, my brain is feeling a super old fight or flight response, like that ancient part of my brain. And the feeling that I'm not safe comes rushing up. So old feelings from my childhood, again, total time travel. And my amygdala, or I like to refer to the amygdala as literally the peanut gallery, because it's literally the size of a peanut and it's going bonkers with my thoughts. What it's trying to do is actually protect me, because it perceives the second I started to feel these feelings of not being safe, its absolute job is to help me be safe. And so it sees that what's happening is a very real and imminent danger. And immediately I have a physical reaction, just like the one I was describing. And I begin to sweat, I feel hot perspiration, and then mentally, all of my grown-up brain, this mature, wise part of me that I thought I had developed over all of this education and raising all these kids, was completely gone. I was probably back to being about 7 or 8. All of my grown-up brain put on hold, and any part of me that wanted to connect or make peace or build good relationships or extend this feeling of family and safety and all these yummy feelings that I was trying to create, gone, totally gone, put on hold. Any part of me that wanted to connect or make peace could not even at all be accessed when the amygdala, la-la land, takes over. And when the amygdala gets charged, all of the details blend together and get super hazy. So your ability to remember details, gone. Not important if you're trying to be safe from a lion or tiger. Remember, that's the part of the brain that's activated, the peanut gallery, trying to protect you. It's all attack and fight and then get out of there towards safety. You are wired that way. So valuable, unless you have a family that you're interested in building relationships with. So if you are human and you have family, you've experienced this, maybe not with family, but with another human being. This is what keeps us isolated, actually, is this idea that we will be more safe and never hurt and have to experience things like this if we have relationships. And it actually really hurts us. The amygdala getting all jazzed up probably accounts for what I would say about 83% of all family gathering trauma. I totally made up that statistic, so please don't ever quote me. I could be right, I could be wrong. I'm just going to go with 83%. But there are two ways that this can go. And you know this. I either shut down and say something super rude back, and then it doesn't end there. Oh no. Then you go and you tell your husband and anyone else that might listen about how it really went down, how she was really super horrible, how horrible she was, and let me tell you some other bad things about her, and this is what else she did. I'm gathering, and it makes sense, right? I'm gathering the troops because I feel like I'm being attacked. What do you do when you're attacked? You gather the troops. And then the story gets bigger and bigger. Mean things, everything is really clear on how much of a victim I was and I am again. And you know what that looks like. I'm feeling sorry for myself. I'm blaming her for the feelings of me being a victim, not only in my own mind, but to anyone that will listen. Here's the problem. Well, you know the problem. I'm miserable in that moment, right? So let me describe scenario 2. Circumstance isn't going to change. I want you to see how the circumstance can be exactly the same, but there are things that you can do to have a completely different outcome. Because this kind of stuff is going to happen for you all of your life. And if you can get a hold of that amygdala the second you start to notice the physical sensations of what that feels like, the fight or flight feeling, and deal with it immediately, then the peacemaker part of you, the wiser part of you, the part that remembers details, remembers that it doesn't really matter what happened when you were 7. What matters now is that you're a grown-up and she's a grown-up and you both were ridiculous humans as children and probably will continue to be ridiculous humans, but that you can still have a really great relationship that enjoys all of the benefits of connection and humor and all of those healthy, connected things that we crave so much. It's a part of our humanness, is to feel connected. All of those things can start to thrive again. So join me with scenario two. Sister says the mean thing, and instead, the second I feel that hot, I can change my thoughts basically immediately to, that's her opinion. And maybe her opinion is true. And maybe there are a lot of people that would agree with her or would agree with me, but it has nothing to do with me, and I'm not going to take that on. Now, I want to tell you, if I was super, super charged physically, knowing now, after having worked with so many clients on this and being inside of my own brain, I would probably go into the bathroom as quickly as possible. And I would go through a few rounds of tapping, because if I know that I'm emotionally and my amygdala is charged to like a level on a scale from 1 to 10, like an 8, 9, or a 10, and I'm feeling sweaty and shaky inside and wanting to attack, I know what that feels like. And I know I can get out of that place by doing a little bit of work. Cognitive behavioral therapy would say, think these thoughts and you can get out of it. And I do believe that you can. And most of the time, if you're not as charged up, if you're like a level on a scale from 1 to 10, if you're a 6 or a 7, you can think thoughts like, it's okay that she's saying this stuff. You can talk yourself down and create a new reality for yourself. And that is something that you're going to need to do, but not when your amygdala is charged, because your amygdala is not going to believe it. You can't talk your amygdala into anything. I would go through a tapping exercise, probably in the bathroom, and I would tap through all of the little EFT points, and I'll include a PDF here on this podcast, or you can always go to my thought coach or look up tapping points online, but I'll talk about them here. At the end of this podcast, I'm going to give you a guided, super quick, 5-minute get out of jail fast card, get out of crazyville, brain, physical, whatever. I want you to listen to it and learn it. You can go back to it, but just I'll help make it easy. But it will be at the end of this podcast and also on the Meditation Station podcast as well to help you through this stuff. But then I want you to also I want to show you what happens later. Once your amygdala gets calmed down, you can still get yourself all charged up just by rehearsing over and over again in your mind. And that's what your brain is going to want to do, rehearse to you the offense and remind you of all of the things and the times, and that area of your brain where you got hurt as a child is wide open when you're hurting and someone hurts your feelings. And you want to kind of just shut that down. I want you to always be in the driver's seat of your own emotions and your own experience in the world, because the truth is you are able to create any experience for yourself that you want when you understand that you are the creator of your experience. I want you There is only misery on the other side and warring factions in families. And it might feel really good in the moment, anger or feelings of being indignant. That those are all energy-giving, self-protective emotions for a reason. But they also bring with them feelings of disconnect, feelings of isolation, and feelings of depression later. So it's just not going to serve you in the long run. The way to avoid conflict is just to choose not to be conflicted. And the way to avoid drama is to choose to opt out of drama. Drama does not exist outside of you. It doesn't come from your family members saying mean things to you or arguing. It doesn't come from people talking about politics. It doesn't come from anything other than your own head, which means that you have choices. You have a choice to opt out of it. Again, if you're feeling so emotionally charged, do EFT first. Do some tapping stuff to just organize all the neural pathways in your body so that you can get some breathing space. And again, that'll be at the end of this. But stick with me, because it won't be enough. You'll need to really change the way that you think. You have to focus inward, not outward, if you want to avoid conflict. Again, it's counterintuitive because most of us would think, no, the conflict is out there. The problem is with them. It's not true. If you want to stay out of the drama, you need to stop thinking about what everyone else is thinking. everyone else, no matter what, and start thinking about what you're thinking. Don't start judging what you're thinking either. You may be thinking horrible, hateful things. You don't want to judge that. You just have to be on to yourself and become aware that you have to have compassion for you, just like we have compassion for all of the people that they're humans. They're doing the best that they can, and we have to have compassion for them and for us as well. So when we do generate negative emotion, when we're not feeling great, when we're not showing up our best, have compassion. And next, allow other people to feel however they choose to feel. Guys, I can't emphasize this enough. Other people's negative emotions will never be a problem for you to solve. Other people being unhappy or disappointed is not a problem for you to solve. And that doesn't mean you don't want to hear people out, but you don't have to solve it. So what if you could love the people in your life exactly as they are, no matter what they say or don't say or should do or don't do? What if you could feel however you want, no matter what, even if they don't like you? So let's say your mother is critical of you and you're going to see her. And she's going to point out all of the things that she thinks you're doing wrong with your kids or in your home or in yourself or whatever way she does that. And that doesn't have to be confrontational. It's not conflict. What creates conflict isn't what she says, but it's your thoughts about what your mother is saying. Again, I'm not going to take away the fact that this can be so challenging. I just told you my story. I know how challenging this can be. But you, my friend, are allowed to not be in criticism about your mother criticizing you. You're allowed not to be emotionally charged by it. You're allowed to remember that what your mother thinks or says is about her. And it's perfectly okay for her to be wrong about you. And it's perfectly okay for her to offer her opinion. And in fact, I mean, let's be honest, she probably thinks she's just helping you out. She's just trying to do you a favor to point out how your life could be better. It doesn't mean it feels great, but that very well could be true. Can you imagine how freeing it would be to simply allow other people to be wrong about you? This one idea could change your life because our brains, when we think that others don't approve of something we did or said or whatever, our brains on default think I have to explain to them why I'm still a good person. I have to explain to them why I'm a good person or that I'm a good mom or even if I let my kids eat chocolate or whatever, just like I had to with my sister. The brain immediately wants to show the other person why they're wrong, and it rarely stops there. It's not just that they're wrong, but then they're also horrible, and your brain has to give you all of that evidence too. So family gathering times get extra difficult because they're even more vulnerable, and we're not able to control our image or the things that we say or do at all times. And when we feel attacked, we start to play this kind of tug of war. So the other person, whoever it is, mother-in-law, siblings, spouse, person, anywhere, it's like they're pulling on our rope saying in one way or another, you messed up or you're bad or you're whatever, you messed up. And then we pull back saying, no, I don't think you understand. I didn't mess up. And then when you pull back on the rope, guess what they do with their side of the rope? They pull even harder. So trying to talk people into changing their mind about you, it usually has the opposite effect. And it can turn what would be maybe a small little hurdle into a full-blown confrontation. Again, it's just the amygdala trying to protect us. But these panic thoughts create panicked, defensive feelings, all because of the emotions that we create for ourselves when we realize that we're not convincing other people that they're wrong about us. So there is so much more peace available when you just put down the rope and you say, you're totally allowed to think that. And maybe even a little part of me even thinks that you might be right, and that scares me. But most of me thinks that that's not true, and you're allowed to think that anyway. So all these thoughts, they're all thoughts that you have in your head. It's none of it's true. They're just thoughts. They might be true. They might not be true. But what do you want really? What do you want most, right? If the wisest part of your brain were to step back and look at everything objectively, what most of us want is peace and harmony and to feel better. We just want to feel good. And unfortunately, or actually fortunately, the only way to feel good, all of that has nothing to do with what other people do or don't do. And it has everything to do with turning inside and what kind of choices you're making to keep your inner world out of conflict. And that can absolutely be done through tapping, through being onto yourself, like remembering these fun little stories that I just told you about what's happening, and to be an observer of the experience, just noticing when you're in fight or flight, noticing when you're panicking. Listen, here's what it all comes down to. Here's the truth. Adults get to do whatever the snap they want. And this includes you. There's nothing that you ever have to do. And there's nothing that anyone else has to do for you. Maybe you've been to therapy with your spouse and your therapist may have told you, had this exercise. I know there's this exercise where you share your needs or what you want most from each other so you can each work on meeting your partner's needs. And this on the surface looks great, but in reality, it's a disaster waiting to happen because it can lead to constant manipulation in an effort to control one another. And nobody wins in that scenario. So when people don't behave that we think that they should, it's inevitable with our human brains to start to think thoughts and make what they're doing mean things about you and your relationship with the other person. But that's just your brain. That's actually the peanut gallery of your brain trying to control things. The truth is we're all responsible for our own needs. And you are by far the best person to meet those needs. Before I finish up today, I want to just take a closer look at the thoughts that you feel in response to a real or perceived negative experience. The reason for your negative emotion in that moment is because of a thought that you're thinking, and it's not because of what they said. So my feelings in the moment that my sister said those things were not because of what she said. They were 100% because of my thoughts. And let me help you. I can't emphasize enough how important this distinction is, because if I'm the reason that I'm feeling shame in that moment, I still have all my power. But if I give the credit for feeling shame to another person, then I've literally given my power over to them. And now I'm a victim of something that they've done, which is there's no win to that. You can't ever change that. You're just a victim. You're stuck there and you don't progress. So let me give you an example. This is an example that one of my teachers used in a class that I was taking. If somebody told you, I really hate your blue hair, and let's say your hair wasn't blue, it was just brown, like you hadn't dyed it blue or whatever, and you don't have blue hair, but they came up to you and said, I really hate your blue hair, you're probably not going to start crying. You're probably not going to say, that hurts my feelings. You're probably not going to drop into feeling like a victim because there's no part of you that believes that you have blue hair. Most of you won't. Some of you could, if you're really into this victim mentality, you could use that as a reason. But the reason why you most likely won't start crying is because no part of you believes what they said, right? If you don't have, let's say you just have black hair and somebody tells you, I hate your blue hair, it's just not gonna really get to you unless there's a part of you that really thinks that you have blue hair, which is a whole other problem. But if you know you don't have blue hair and somebody says they hate your blue hair, it's not really going to affect you. When somebody says something to you and you do believe it, or there's a part of you that believes it, that's when it gets to you. And the reason that it gets to you is because of the thought you're thinking that believes the thing that they're saying on some level. This doesn't mean that you have to give your power to them. All it means is that later on, you need to have a look at that thought and you need to take care of yourself and try to understand what's going on with you. Just like I did with my sister, I had to really figure out why that hurt so bad. And part of it did because I had told myself this story for years that she beat me up all the time. But it's absolutely possible that sometimes I punched her back. It's absolutely true. And there's a part of me that knew that, which is why that was so painful to me. And this was an opportunity for me to connect with that part of me that really did believe that negative comment. And then once you kind of connect with yourself and heal, you become a person that can handle any kind of difficult vibration in your body. And that's all it is. Not be afraid of it. Not be afraid of anyone saying anything that could hurt you, because you begin to recognize that instead of being afraid of life, you can embrace it because you're not afraid. You're not afraid of what other people do or don't do or say or don't say, because you recognize that you're in charge. And this is where freedom and peace comes from. And it's very exciting. Guys, have a great holiday. I'm thinking of you. You've got this. Following this is a guided tapping exercise that can just help you in the heat of the moment when you're feeling extremely vulnerable. Tapping works, and that can be another section altogether, but I've been doing some actual research on how and why, and it's fascinating. But really for you, you're just reorganizing the neural pathways that run throughout your entire body and nervous system and connect to your brain and your amygdala. And it's just science. And tapping literally just kind of disrupts that signal, that strong emotional signal, and gets you back to a place where you have your full brain capacity, which is exactly where you want to be, especially when you're dealing with family. Really quick, I do have a couple of slots available for one-on-one coaching with me. If you're ready and interested, shoot me an email at stin@mythoughtcoach.com to see if we're a match. Love you guys. You got this. If you're feeling really stuck in your life, shame is one of the first things to start to explore. If you think about it, shame and guilt start most likely when we were kids, when our parents or teachers used it to get us to mold our behavior, to have good manners, or to be good, or do your homework so you don't get in trouble or shamed in front of others. And we learn really young to compare ourselves and then also to label our behavior as good or bad. And it's when we carry this stuff with us into our adult lives by labeling what we do or what we don't do as either good or bad, or beautiful or ugly, desirable or not, or making sure that we fit in or not, that this can get extremely carried away and very toxic. Holding ourselves and others to impossible standards is a sure indicator that shame is playing a destructive role in your life. You may not even realize that shame is what's going on in there when you're being such a perfectionist that you can't even get stuff done, or when you keep putting up with bad behavior in others because you just want to keep the peace and be liked by everyone and be a people pleaser. Self-sabotage or punishing yourself for things that you've done or not done are also all ways that shame keeps showing up over and over in our lives, and it will keep you stuck. So if you were my client and came to me feeling extremely stuck in your life, I would want to look at shame, and I would probably have you try out some EFT. And here's how it would look. Try it with me. Instead of delving into the past, I instead would want you to immediately begin to explore any guilt or shame that you're feeling right now for present day issues. Because your past and present are all linked together in the brain, and issues that you had even while you were young are all bound together with these present feelings in neuron memory chains. So anything that feels horrible to you or shameful to you right now is dancing around with your old stuff anyway. So there will be enough experiences in your life today, and you can pretty much count on this showing up in your life enough times until eventually you start to heal from it, because these patterns do repeat themselves over and over again and live with us until we can clear them up. So use the events of this moment of today. Think about something as recent as you can that brings you up feelings of shame or feelings of needing to punish yourself or something that you did or you didn't do, that feeling of shame and guilt right now. And I want you to begin to tap on your karate chop point. Refer to the little chart if you can't remember where that is, but it's the outside part of your hand, and you can just karate chop into your other hand. It doesn't matter what hand, but as you do that, I want you to think about the feeling of shame or guilt or regret and what that feels like inside of your body. Pay attention to where that feels. And some of the words that I'll use as we go through this process, as you continue to karate chop there, will help. I want those words to help pull up emotions inside of you. They can't just be words. They've got to be pulling up feelings and physical sensations, because again, feelings and physical sensations are completely linked. There's no way you can be feeling shame without having a feeling of shame inside of your body. Where is that? And then go ahead and tap on the inside part of your eyebrow. And I want you to think about something that you feel shame or guilt or regret about. The more that it loops around, the better. I want you to think about it. Think about the words that you say to yourself at this time. Think about what I regret. What I regret the most about this is. And then tap the outside part of the eye. What I feel the most shame about is. And keep tapping. You can talk out loud or you can think about it. And notice where in your body this is. And if it's moved, that's great. Pay attention to there. Tap now underneath the eye. Think about the shame and the guilt and the regret that may be showing up or in some situation that you just did, what it feels like inside to have done that thing that you wish you hadn't done. Tapping on the top of the lip now. I wish I hadn't done that. Why do I keep doing these things over and over again? Tapping the lower lip now. I can't believe I keep doing this. I feel so heavy when I do these things. Hate myself. I can't stand whatever it is. Feel it inside of your body. And now the collarbone point. Keep tapping and allow the last most recent situation that made you feel bad about yourself to be played over in your mind as you feel the shame of that and as you tap through what that feels like. Going to the underarm point. This feeling of guilt haunts me. It won't go away. And now go ahead and tap on top of the head with all four pads of your fingers, with one hand or both. I feel bad about myself. I can't stand being with myself. This guilt, this shame, I feel like it's a backpack on my back. And take a deep breath. And now we're going to tap through again. Start again on the eyebrow point, inside part of the eye. I choose to release this feeling of shame now. Feel it in your body and see if you can imagine it getting smaller. I'm going to let it go for my parents and my children or my future children. I choose to accept myself and my parents and their history and mine. Outside part of the eye. What is preventing me now from moving forward in my life? Tapping the outside part of the eye. I'm ready to move forward. Even though I feel guilty, I'm ready to forgive myself and accept that in that moment I did the best that I could. Bottom part of the eye. I don't have to keep doing this to myself over and over again. I'm ready to stop. Punishing myself isn't really working. Top of the lip. I'm choosing to release it now. This legacy of guilt underneath the lips. Top of the chin. Heavy weight of guilt that belongs even to someone else. I'm letting it go. Letting it go completely. Tapping on the collarbone point. I'm releasing my mother, my father, everyone who came before me who carried guilt themselves and could never quite feel good enough. And now underneath the armpit, I'm letting this go. I'm done feeling bad about myself. Tapping the top of your head now. I'm ready to let this guilt go, just like a big backpack, and just shrug it off. I'm ready to live my life more fully and completely. I feel lighter and freer and ready to live my life. And now go ahead and take a deep breath. If you feel still really stuck, go through again all of the tapping points and try to identify where it is that you feel the most bad or the most guilty or the most ashamed. Any of those feelings will keep you stuck. So work through them and let them go. Any of the content in this section will also assist you in forgiving yourself and moving on so that you can let go of all of that habit of feeling ashamed and feeling like you need to punish yourself in order to change your behavior. Start instead to love and embrace and accept yourself and all of the imperfect parts of you. And you'll begin to then appreciate the more perfect, amazing parts of you, and they'll show up more often.